life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.
You are listening to Pokemon, the first movie episode of Dynamite in the Brain anime podcast. I am Brian Smith, and as ever, over there is my co-host, Anthony Askew.
Hello!
And today we are joined by his long time in the wilderness, he's finally returning to us, it's Bradley CB.
I've been away so long that I think you've done away with episode numbers now. What happened?
Well, we still got episode numbers on the as they go up, but... I think I got rid of them at the start of the year because I was going to... We weren't necessarily recording things in the order we were putting them out.
Behind the magic.
But now we're back to doing that, to the point where in the outro I now say what we're going to do next week. So, a failed experiment. So I could put episode numbers back in. Righty-ho, let's talk the synopsis off the back of the DVD case. The adventure explodes into action with the debut of Mewtwo, a bioengineered Pokemon created from the DNA of Mew, the rarest of all Pokemon. Determined to prove its superiority, Mewtwo lures Ash, Pikachu, and the others into a Pokemon match like none before. Mewtwo versus Mew. I think I should say Mewtwo there, DVD cover.
Is that actually a spelling mistake?
Yes.
Oh, brilliant.
Super Clones versus Pokemon. It's the ultimate showdown with the very future of the world at stake. Includes the mini-movie Pikachu's Vacation, plus never-before-seen bonus footage. I forgot to watch Pikachu's Vacation. I do apologise.
Oh, you would have loved it.
I have seen it before.
And I bet you loved it.
I did, yes. This is directed by Kunihiko Uyama, known for Pokemon, mainly, but also Plares Sanshiro, Minky Momo, Wedding Peach, and the OAV Ushio and Tora. Written by Takeshi Shudo, also known for Pokemon and Minky Momo. Animation director Sayuri Ichishi, known for Wedding Peach, Ushio and Tora, Comically Deformed Theatre. So the people working on this have all got a history together. But what is our history with this film? What a segue. When did we first see it? Who wants to go first? I'll go first, because mine's the worst. Mine's the most depraved way of seeing it.
Oh, wow.
So, my brother's friend was, like, one of the few people who'd got... was ISDN, it was called. Mm-hmm. The fast internet of the late 90s. And he downloaded a bunch of stuff for my brother, ripped it to CD. One of the things was Pokemon the movie, including the... thing at the front, the Pikachu's Vacation, and also on the DVD was some Jenna Jameson porn, and also some I think probably some music software with various hacks to get it to run without having to pay for it.
Wow, it's like a time capsule for middle school.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
So that is how I saw it. That would probably be 99, I'm guessing.
Before or after the Jenna Jameson porn? I need to know how the flow of your evening went.
I think I probably started with the Pokemon.
And finished with Jenna Jameson.
Now, bear in mind, I would have been 25 and he would have been 21 at this point, so.
Oh!
That's not quite right. 24, he'd be 20, so there you go.
Oh, I somehow thought you were about a decade younger.
No.
That's me.
Yeah, that's me as well, actually. Oh, man.
So assuming your ways of watching it weren't quite so sleazy.
Mine was unlawful. A kid at school had it downloaded in the same way, but there was no adult cinema tagged at either side. But I never believed he had it, and he brought it in one day, and I was like, I don't believe it. His was on a VHS. I'm sure he somehow got on a VHS or found it on a VHS.
It could be, because we were still trading fan subs at that time.
Right. I just didn't believe he had it. He brought it into school. I still didn't believe it. Put it into the VHS player, and it was legit. So, yeah. Blew my mind. Because back then, I couldn't really browse the net. Or I could have done, in theory, but you know, you can't look it up online. Like, is this going to be legit? Is this out yet?
Was it the fan-subbed version that you saw?
No, it was English.
Oh, it was English.
I can't remember the exact timeline, but it was like nobody else had seen the film. And this VHS tape was doing the rounds in school. And it was awesome.
How about you, Bradley?
I'd never seen it before. Pokemon is an aspect of Japanese fandom that I've liked but have never really gotten into. I played Pokemon Red obsessively as a child, and then I never played another Pokemon game after that. And I never really watched any of the anime either. So a lot of this was, I kind of knew a lot of the context for things like Team Rocket just from cultural osmosis. But I've never seen this movie before, and I didn't quite expect it to be as dark as it was, for instance. So.
Yeah, I don't think we would have expected it to be as dark as it was when we first watched it either, because it's not really representative of the TV show in its darkness.
Mm-hmm.
At least the TV show as I remember it. It's been quite a while since I've watched the TV show with any regularity. But yeah, it was.
Yeah, I thought the TV show was more like Yatterman with goofy villains.
Yeah, there tends to be a continuing, at least, if not a plot, a thread of whatever
journey they're on
in that particular season. And I think they've tried to do more stuff with the rest of Team Rocket. They occasionally hinted at it, because Giovanni would occasionally show up in the series, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but not often enough, because I do like Giovanni's a good...
But I think they I think they hinted at something
more
later on, but as I say, that's a series I've not seen, so...
Yeah. Team Rocket are the actual flunkies. Well, the trio that we know are the flunkies of the group. Team Rocket itself is probably a competent group of villains.
They are, yes.
Though not entirely in this movie either, I suppose.
Well, they achieved something. It just went very
badly wrong.
Yeah, they
do pretty well.
Okay, so what were your preconceptions going in? You obviously weren't that it wasn't going to be as dark as it was, I guess, Bradley.
I didn't give it much thought, to be honest. I don't know. I guess I did expect something lighter. Mostly, I just kept thinking that Brock's name was actually Gary for some reason, and I can't figure out why I thought that.
Well,
was
Gary's the Gary's rival character.
Oh, okay.
Does he show up in any of the films? Again, I don't think any of us here are the right people to be talking about future films.
I'm sure he shows up. You know when they're testing out Mewtwo's power?
Yeah.
At the start, and he's fighting different trainers. I'm sure you see the back of Gary, and I'm sure he... what Pokemon does Gary have again? I'm sure it's the back of Gary, or at least someone with a purple, like that colour jumper, and the exact same hairstyle. So I don't know whether it's just a nod, or a coincidence, or just not Gary at all.
So if you're looking for expert Pokemon dissection here, you've come to the wrong podcast, because it's two people who've watched this film many moons ago, and haven't really watched much of the anime in the... How many decades coming up?
Oh god, I don't even want to think.
It's the 20th anniversary, isn't it?
It is.
Game. So, yeah. 19 years of the anime.
And I used to watch it all the time.
Yeah, we've watched one other film for the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I vaguely remember it took place in Pokey Venice. That's kind of all I recall about it.
Yeah. Very little else. It's not as good as this. I'll say that outright.
Now, do you remember if this got a UK cinema release? I think it must have done.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you could go and get the Mew Pokemon card.
Ah. So
you went on day one.
Was Pokemon cards a thing you did?
Oh, of course. Of course. I never played them properly. Which is...
I don't know if anyone ever actually played the game. They just collected the cards.
Yeah, yeah. And it's kind
of a shame. That's why I ditched it pretty quickly for Magic.
Oh, I was far too young to be getting into Magic. I could never afford Magic.
I couldn't either. I can't afford it now.
Well, the card game itself, mega dull to play at that age, because I was like, 11? So it was too slow-paced, so we would just play our own rules where, you know, whoever had the higher attack won. There was no kind of
top
build
trumps rules, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously Charizard, the rarest card, or everyone believed, was big dollar. Sell off £20.
Yeah, I seem to remember Charizard being the most desirable Pokemon card in America as well, in my little middle school in America. So it's crazy that, huh.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it was the best card, because I'm sure it took like 5 energy cards to do the attack, whereas a Zapdos took 4 energy cards, and it was only 100 attack, but I don't think there was any Pokemon that had enough health to lose to that. Oh, sorry, I don't know.
But I think one of the actual Pokemon cards had something like pay 0, draw 3 cards, something ridiculous that breaks one of the fundamental card advantage rules of this kind of game. So it was probably definitely not the best card, but yeah. It had a dragon on it. It was obviously the best card for a middle schooler.
Apparently, first edition Charizard goes for £1,200.
Woo! What?
Wow.
That is like 12 times more than I expected. I expected £100. That's ridiculous.
God. That is probably 4 times more expensive than an unlimited dual land from Magic. So
it's not a rare one, is it?
Yeah, yeah. That would have been from the 3rd set and one of the most powerful and most frequently used cards for any kind of a deck if you want to play a certain format for old cards.
Yes, this is my Google search for most expensive Pokemon card. The second, though, is a Magic card, and that is Serendib Efreet. Condition, good. Summer Magic. Magic Madhouse are asking £6,000 for it.
Ah, Charizard wasn't 120 attack. It was 100. So it's not as good as I thought. But still mega. £1,200!
That's what someone's asking on eBay for it.
Woo!
And that's near mint, not even mint, so.
You would have to frame it. You would have to frame that card and have it up on the wall to make it worthwhile.
What I've seen people do with obscenely valuable cards is they will double sleeve it, so they'll have it in one sleeve and then in a slightly larger sleeve, and then they have these plastic presses put around the card. So you put it on that. So there's 3 layers of protection on that darn thing. It could survive a hurricane in
mint condition.
Surely
have to do the rest of your deck like that as well, otherwise you're marking that card.
See, I've got some Yu-Gi-Oh cards that are in that thick, like, laminated plastic.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think they're worth... I should have a look. Who knows?
It's finding somebody who wants to buy them, though.
Exactly. Who on earth? Well, there will be people.
There's still a local play group in my area that plays Yu-Gi-Oh pretty consistently.
Whoa. Oh, yeah, they still put stuff out. I mean, yeah, there's people we podcast with who play Yu-Gi-Oh pretty consistently. So.
To be honest, it's a good card.
Oh, and there's
game.
My monitor, so talk about that while I go and...
Oh, yeah. So you never played Yu-Gi-Oh, Bradley?
No, I never did. The art just didn't seem as good as Magic's, so I guess I judged it must therefore be an inferior card game.
See, I was found, this is going to sound weird, but I was found the Magic the Gathering art to be so detailed and kind of well done that I found it dull.
And really?
I felt it was more of an adult game than when I was a kid playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Because the art was more cartoony, I suppose. Whereas obviously the artwork on Magic the Gathering is pretty damn good. And it's a silly thing to think back to, but that's probably the reason I preferred Yu-Gi-Oh! And
so you were like, oh, this is a game for the older kids.
Yeah,
isn't
that
for me. I feel safer playing this Yu-Gi-Oh game.
Exactly. And obviously I watched the cartoon, so, you know, I could join in spirit.
You know, what I also really liked about Magic is that there was this tremendously busy, tremendously large online presence dedicated just to talking about decks and what optimal play is. I learned all kinds of things about game theory and proper play that I didn't know was something I had wanted until I finally had an unlimited internet connection long enough to just start reading those kinds of sites.
Yeah.
And even though I don't play Magic anymore, like, I still go in sometimes and I see, okay, what's this new set doing? what are people doing with the decks?
Do you still play? You're more interested in the like the theory at this point.
You know, yeah, I don't really play anymore. It's one of those hobbies that I keep meaning to get into. But because when I get online to play a game, I'm normally playing either Dota or Path of Exile.
Mm-hmm.
And I never make the time to play Magic online. And so I'd rather play Magic offline, you know, and enjoy kind of the physical aspect and the interaction with other people.
Yeah.
The problem is the interaction with other people. What I have found is that in my local area, there's good shops run by good people. But there is incredible variance in who you play with, and it can vary from like a small child, which is fine. I have nothing against children playing Magic, to very ruley, kind of smelly adults and college students.
Mm.
And I've kind of seen enough of those, and I've had to smell my way through enough games that at least for the game rooms I've been to in my area, I just don't want to play Magic there. There's some others that I haven't tried yet.
Offended.
Yeah, they probably will be. But they also know it's a problem. I've talked to the owner. So.
As Magic the Gathering is something that's always been, like, now as I'm older and probably could afford it, I choose not to because I know I would sink.
Yeah,
and the down a vortex of spending.
The other thing that's happening at the moment is there's a bunch of games coming out from people who were like big Magic the Gathering players who are making non-open-ended card games. So things like Star Realms, I think that's designed by a couple of guys who used to be heavy into Magic the Gathering, and that's a deck-building game where you don't have to buy any extra cards. It's all
So you've got the... Mm-hmm. You just work with what you've got.
Yeah, because basically it's a deck builder, so you start off with very limited cards, and you're drawing from the same deck, the pair of players, to build up your deck that you're playing with.
See, I like that, but I'm always a fan of seeing someone or seeing a rare card and thinking, shit, that's a rare card. Like, there's some kind of excitement.
And then, of course, there's the insane game Millennium Blades, which came out recently, which is a board game which simulates being a CCG player. So the first half of the game is buying boosters, building a deck, putting cards you don't want onto the market to sell them so you can buy other cards on the market.
And how long would a game of this run for?
Oh my god, I love this.
This is apparently quite a long game, 2 to 3 hours, according to the game gig.
Yeah, still.
Oh man, yes, I want to play this.
So it's like a monopoly of...
Yeah, like the first half is like an economics game, and then the second half is actually playing the game that the cards you've been buying and selling in the first half used in.
So you could screw yourself over or...
Yeah.
Quite easy by getting, yeah. Oh god, that sounds intense and very...
Yeah, I want to play this.
Anyway, back to Pokemon the movie.
See, this is exactly the kind of podcast I give up on 10 minutes into it, because the hosts still aren't talking about the subject
they
have in the title.
At this point, you're not on board with what we're doing on this podcast.
Oh god, no.
You would have been dropped out many episodes ago. Pikachu's Vacation is this short. And this is like a recurring thing, I believe they do with the Pokemon movies, of having these Pokemon-focused shorts where there's no humans involved.
Yeah.
So what happens in this one? YouTube? Did you watch it?
Of course I did.
Okay.
It's magic. It's I don't know why, but Ash, Brock, and Misty are doing something else, and they send the Pokemon off to this theme park. The Pokemon theme park, and they're having fun. Togepi, obviously a baby Pokemon, is getting hungry. And so Pikachu's trying to look after it. And, you know, it's all these hijinks with Squirtle's face scaring it and all this jazz. And then the rival squad turn up, another squad of Pokemon. And they kind of fight with Pikachu's squad. And, they're racing, they're swimming, they're running against each other. And then Charizard, which is a very weird setup, but I'll sum it up before we start talking about it, which is basically he gets his head stuck in a building and then like through a chimney in a little hut, and then they all kind of club together to pull him out. Even the rival squad, you know, becomes friends with Pikachu's squad. And then Ash, Brock, Misty scream for their Pokemon names, like their Pokemon, and then they return to their owners, and that's the end of the tale. And you don't even see Ash's face. You see him at the very end from behind, but they must have been like, yeah, we cannot show a human face. This is only Pokemon. They do a good job.
This is for any Pokemon in the audience to appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just a lot of fun. There's some weird things where I was like, what? Like, there's these weird, like, eye-catch moments where, more so in the first half, they're just cuts to, like, would you call them an eye-catch? It's like these weird intermission bits, and it's like, you're just disrupting the flow. They could have had it 15 minutes long without these intermission bits, I'm sure of it. But I don't know. That aside, it's hilarious. Hilarious as it can be. And I like it a lot. I like it a lot.
Do you watch this as well, Bradley?
No, I didn't.
Well, it wasn't
included in my Amazon online rental.
So. Oh, that's a shame.
Which, interestingly enough, so I've seen three different titles for this movie. I've seen Pokemon, the movie. I've seen Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back, which was the title on the actual film.
Yeah.
And in Amazon, it's listed as Pokemon Mewtwo versus Mew.
And I think it's also called just Pokemon the first movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, I'm sad nobody watched the Pikachu's Vacation. Because it's weird Raichu and Pikachu are racing up this hill. And I presume, obviously being two mouse-type Pokemon, they weigh next to nothing. And they stand on Charizard's tail while he's asleep. And he gets startled in such a way you would think they weigh like a ton. And it wakes him up. It's just like, what? Why would he wake up? You wouldn't even notice.
Yeah, maybe Charizard is a very sensitive sleeper.
Yeah, well, I guess so. I'll give him benefit of the doubt. But it's still just really fun. And I like, it's so sweet. Like them looking after Togepi and the rival squad. There's a Snubbull Pokemon, which I'm sure that's not original 150. But it sounds like a mobster. Like, it's got this, like, Snubbull. It's like a Pokemon. And I'm sad nobody watched it recently, because this is one of the best bits about the film. It works hand-in-hand with the film, I believe.
Mm. You're correct. He's number 209, Snubbull is.
209, right. There we go.
So maybe that was, like, a big thing to go and see the movie. It's like, oh, yeah. Here's some new Pokemon for you.
There's a Marill in it as well. I know for a fact Marill isn't a...
Yeah.
Original 150. But yeah, it's good fun seeing all the Pokemon smiling, which is weird. Like, when they're running over to the theme park, they're all smiling. It's just strange.
It's strange that they got a theme park. It's like that would suggest you could set other things up that humans have for them and they'd enjoy it as well.
Yeah. It's quite surreal. But I could watch a full-length film of just the Pokemon. I mean, I like Ash, I like Brock, I like Misty, but... You know, I love seeing Pikachu show more emotion with just saying his name over and over again. Faces, and it's cute. I love the Pikachu design as well. So I'm a big
fan. Yeah. I have an almost primal reaction to Pikachu. he's just so darn cute.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to a podcast a while back, the Slate Culture Gap Fest, which is a fairly high-minded podcast about culture and whatever's happening in movies and music and so on at the moment. And, of course, when Pokemon Go fever sweeps the nation, they have to talk about it. So these 40- and 50-year-old music and movie critics are trying to wrap their mind around this particular aspect of Japanese pop culture they're barely aware of. And one host in particular was complaining about how she hates how the characters look. She hates the character designs. And that just, I can't understand how do you look at that and hate that?
Yeah, if there's anything people should like and appreciate, it's just Pikachu on his own is suffice.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's not to say all Pokemon designs are great. There's a lot of terrible designs.
Oh, God, yeah.
Some of them are just sublimely cute.
It's all so terrible, they have to be redesigned.
Oh, yeah? Which one was redesigned?
Jinx is one, for example, that they made.
Oh, yeah. Right, that's what's standard. Okay.
Oh, man.
Wait, Pikachu's had a few
redesigns,
I guess.
Doesn't the Pokemon Go game use the old Jinx design?
No.
I think it doesn't?
No, oh. it's still purple.
Okay.
Oh, of course, yeah. It's only in the picture now. But yeah, I mean, Pikachu's had like a slightly fatter variation. Then he gets a bit thinner. So it's not really a redesign as such, but it's
changed. Definitely, it's made more cute.
Yeah. Oh. I'm intrigued. I wonder how. I would love to see some of the original designs for the original 150 before they were kind of finalized and stuff.
I bet the finalized ones have drifted a fair amount as games have changed.
Mm.
So you say Pikachu has definitely more of a neck now than he used to.
Yeah.
And don't they also redesign certain Pokemon to fit whatever locale they're in at the moment? So I know for the upcoming game, it's set in not Hawaii. And because of that, some Pokemon species have been redesigned with a more tropical flavor.
Well, they're an extra Pokemon. That's not this is what you get instead. That's an addition.
Oh, so, okay.
It's not like an evolution, but it's just going to open so much potential to here's a new world. Well, he's a variant of that Pokemon he used to love, and now he's cuter. Hula skirts and stuff.
Or a moustache in Rattata's case.
Yeah.
That's a stroke of genius.
I like what they're doing with that, though. It's,
I'm only aware of it from people posting it constantly on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. If it's an update, it's on Twitter.
Because, obviously, I'm not going to actually play it.
Oh, I've got it pre-ordered. I have.
Yeah. I'd like to play it, but I can barely get through Y. I don't know if Y is a bad Pokemon game or if it's just Pokemon games in general I just can't play anymore, but I've had a hard time getting through that.
Well, I say the latest. That's the last batch, X and Y. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've got one of them, I think. And I couldn't get into it either. I don't know why, whether it's just the wrong time for me to enjoy it, but I'm never going to play it now. I'm probably going to sell it, but I'm ready for the next one.
On to our feature presentation. Mewtwo Strikes Back, the main part of this movie. So, for the first 20 minutes, none of your favourites are here. It's all this backstory of how Mewtwo...
Is that 20 minutes?
It's 20 minutes before actually that lot show up.
Yep.
As we get fake Professor Tenma.
Yes.
Rather than creating a android boy, he decides he's going to create clones to try and bring his dead daughter back rather than his dead son back in the form of a robot. And they clone various Pokemon, but the main thing that they manage to clone is Mew from the a fossil they find of the legendary Pokemon Mew. And they use it, all these clones have got two after their name. And Mewtwo is the one who survives. His daughter dies. All these other Pokemon dies. And it's really quite tragic. And then, because Mewtwo feels very angry about what's happened, how he's the only one who survives. And then Giovanni manipulates him. And he gets even angrier. So what do you think of the opening segment?
I didn't realise there's stuff about his daughter and stuff.
Yeah, that's who that girl is, isn't it? That's the... They say that they managed to, they've got her memories.
I'm sure that's not on the... I've watched that opening segment, but I'm sure there's nothing about that on mine. That's why I was surprised when you said it was 20 minutes. I feel like I've not seen that prologue. Because I'd know the Mewtwo's bit at the start. I mean, I watched it with full attention because I liked the film. And I'm sure it didn't mention about because that's sad.
It was definitely dubbed on the version I was watching.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't remember the stuff about the daughter.
Okay, maybe I'm just hallucinating it. Maybe she wasn't his daughter. I'm sure it was.
I'm sure that they get very little coverage other than this is what we've done. Look at us. And then shit goes wrong.
But there is a girl there, isn't there? I'm not hallucinating. There's no girl in the first season.
Bradley, do you remember this?
I'm sure there's a girl there. I don't know if it was ever explicitly mentioned that it was fake Dr. Tenma's daughter.
I'm sure. See, after, when you said 20 minutes, I was like, whoa, that 20 minutes flies over. So,
well, 20 minutes does sound about right to me. I was checking the timestamp as the opening kind of dragged on, and I wondered, well, when are we getting to the opening credits? Because this has been going for a while. Did I miss something?
Well, I've just skipped through mine, and my prologue ends at 10 minutes, 20 seconds.
Okay.
So I've missed the heartfelt, as if this film wasn't sad enough. What's it trying to do? Yeah, I didn't see it. Go on. Sorry, but I'm intrigued.
I wonder if Brian has an uncut version.
Yeah, that's one that we're missing.
Oh, that's it's uncut, all right.
But yeah, it was dubbed, so it wasn't like...
Yeah, mine was dubbed as well, so... Well, put it this way, the runtime for mine was 1 hour and 14. That's excluding Pikachu.
Okay, yeah, that's much. I think that's much less than the one I was watching.
Yeah, so...
Okay, so I was going to ask Brian if you had seen an uncut version, because I wonder what 4Kids did to edit this, if anything at all, so...
Well, that's what they edited out.
There we go.
Because mine is definitely the 4Kids one. There we go. Whoa. So.
Okay. Useful research on this podcast.
Yes.
I thought I've got all the things covered. Yeah, so my version is an hour and 25 minutes.
Okay.
And, yeah, 21, yeah, around the 20-minute mark is we're at the seaside. They're making some stew.
That's like 10 minutes, bang on, pretty much for me.
And a guy shows up to challenge Ash.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. Okay, yeah, so it probably is much sadder than the version you saw.
And I think it's sad anyway. Really. Wow.
This film is pretty relentless because once they get on the island, it stays dark throughout.
Oh, yeah.
And it starts pretty dark, too, so there's only maybe 10 minutes of any kind of lighthearted material.
Gosh.
Well, okay, that's completely thrown me now.
Yeah.
Okay, so can you tell us about the daughter?
Well, she's kind of like this ghost who he's the only one who can psychically communicate with her because obviously he's a psychic Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But the other ones they've cloned haven't. And yeah, they're like kind of, oh no, the other ones are there and they basically fly through her memories.
Oh.
Of before.
So, I don't think the other clone Pokemon in the science lab were mentioned either in the cut version. So, so when you said that, oh, they have the same name but with two same added on the end, that's a detail that wasn't in the edited version either.
Yeah, I think she's like Amy 2 or something.
Ah, okay.
Something like that. And, yeah, and so it's like Charizard 2, Squirtle 2, Bulbasaur 2. They've cloned all the starting Pokemon.
Now, and these are different from the clones that show up later in the movie, right?
Yeah, because these all die.
Mm. How did they die? Oh, that alone. Explosion.
I think it's like, no, it's basically like, I think it's like their bodies just start breaking down.
Mm. Oh, so they were a failure, essentially.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I'm kind of pleased I didn't watch this version. It sort of ruined me.
God.
Yeah, and then it's complete. So you get 20 minutes of that, then you hop to Ash. From the complete darkness of that, and then you're sunny Ash larking around, beating up a bully, being watched by Team Rocket.
Being watched by Mewtwo.
Yeah.
Team Rocket are a delight.
Yes, they are.
I love
this.
Them.
And then you got Central Mystery. Where has Nurse Joy disappeared to?
Oh, some of this stuff is like... I know kids' films are like kind of obvious at times, but this is next level foreshadowing with everything. Like when they tell you about the legend of the tears, bringing back people and Pokemon, it's like, yeah. I mean, I'd already seen the film, obviously, so it's even more obvious.
I was going to say, yeah, maybe it's just
more. Yeah, I groaned a lot through some of this.
But yeah, the Nurse Joy stuff is so obvious.
I have to say, I didn't recognize her until they got to the bit afterwards where
really
they reported that she was missing.
Is this the same nurse that's throughout all the Pokemon?
They all look the same.
Don't they all look the same? Okay.
Yes, it's not the same nurse. It's just they all look the same.
Because it's like Nurse Joy, and I'm sure Officer Jenny has a very similar. Like, there's an Officer Jenny in every town, and Brock loves them all, but he likes Nurse Joy the best. That's his favorite.
Mm.
And so these various Pokemon masters are invited to this windswept island to battle the world's greatest Pokemon master. And most of them use water Pokemon or flying Pokemon to get there. But these kids with their useless Pokemon, like, what are we going to do? But luckily some Vikings show up.
Oh, God. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yes. Oh.
Two of the team are gym leaders. How can they...
Oh, God, yeah. One of them's a water gym leader.
The best visual gag is how the way that they use Meowth is just to tie him to the top of the boat.
There's that line where Brock's like, I didn't think Vikings were a thing anymore. And I'm sure Ash says, yeah, they're probably from Minnesota.
Yeah. What? That's a thing.
Is it?
Okay. So it's a reference to the NFL football team, the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, wow. This is way cleverer than I ever thought.
Wow. I don't know if clever is the word I'd use for it, but yes.
Well, it got one past me.
Localization being a little too local for when you're watching it in another place which speaks English.
Yes, if you were anywhere but America, you would not get that.
Were you laughing your head off at that bit, Bradley? Did it? Tickle your funny bone. Because I found it funny. Then I didn't even get it.
Moving on. There's a lot of groan-worthy gags in here. Not exactly laugh-out-loud gags. It's no Yo-Kai Watch the movie.
Which we'll get to next week.
Ooh, foreshadowing.
Yes. Yeah, but there's some physical gags, one of which will appear in Yo-Kai Watch the movie. Because Mew is also attending. We keep on seeing Mew sort of flitter around in the sky, and there's one bit where it's following Team Rocket, and Meowth keeps on looking behind himself, and it just moves out of his eye line every time.
Mm-hmm.
That joke will reappear. However many years, 16, 17 years later, in Yo-Kai Watch the movie. So they all turn up, and this Pokemon Master turns out to be Mewtwo, and he basically wants... What's his thing? He doesn't want humans and Pokemon to be friends.
Yeah, he thinks like the Pokemon are kind of imprisoned. Like, well, they're less kind of friends, and more Pokemon are doing the humans bidding. And he doesn't think that's fair, no. I guess. I mean, that's what I get from it. Probably an extra scene that you got. A bunch of darker scene.
Isn't it interesting how Mewtwo's critique in that sense is basically the same critique that people make when they kind of take Pokemon too seriously? It's in the sense of why are these animals enslaved and then forced to fight in the pits? How is this appropriate for children?
But we know from the series that it's their choice. Because Pikachu doesn't want to get in his ball, and Ash can't make him get in his ball.
Yep.
They have free will, and they're allowed to go to amusement parks.
Yeah, this is something that I was going to bring up when we talked about the ending. But that line Pokemon that Ash says. Yeah, there's that. There's also just in general that Pokemon is just a world where the creatures... They fight because they want to, because that's fun for them, because that's how they bond. It is entirely a positive activity. It's not like dog fighting at all. And the movie kind of at the end flirts at least with taking the critique seriously of why fight at all. kind of undermines the fantasy of Pokemon itself, to its detriment, I think.
Yeah, I think anyway. You're right. It's a really jarring line.
Yeah.
What's the line? I can't remember the exact line.
Is it the Pokemon shouldn't be fighting like this or something like
yes, that? Yes, and it's Pokemon shouldn't be fighting, pause, like this. And it's said several times towards the end. But we're getting ahead of ourselves, so do we want to kind of
we can talk
fast
about
forward
ending.
To how that happens?
Yeah,
all right.
Basically, it comes down to like a Pokemon battle between Mew and Mewtwo. With on Mew's side is all the good Pokemon who are still up and running after various skirmishes with Mewtwo's Pokemon, which are cloned Pokemon. And at some point, Meowth also gets cloned in some sort of comedy conveyor belt machine type action.
Oh, and it plucks his, like a hair out of his tail or something.
Yes. Yeah, because you think it's going to be some sort of horrible mincing machine or something, and then it just turns out to be something which yanks a single hair out of his tail.
Mm-hmm.
Cartoons love conveyor belts, and I love cartoons who love conveyor belts too.
Same.
And the other thing I just realised is that Pokemon came up around the same time that MMA was getting popular in Japan and America for the first time round. So that ties into it as well.
Huh.
Because it's kind of like, that. Maybe that's what Pokemon battling is more like. Because you're using Pokemon with different styles, and that was like a lot like what MMA was like at that time.
Mm.
It was trying to find out who had the best style and which styles could beat other styles, as opposed to the generic having some sort of set way of MMA fighting we have nowadays.
Interesting.
So it's MMA for children.
God.
I think there's also just something primal, especially culturally speaking for boys.
Yeah.
About just fighting. There's something kind of purely thrilling about it.
Yeah, so basically boils down to these fights, but it kind of comes through like a brawl almost.
Yeah, so Mewtwo disables the Pokemon being able to use their powers. So when the Pokemon fight, it's now just bashing heads and slapping each other, that kind of thing. And why do you think that was so much more affecting on the humans watching this happening than, say, a normal Pokemon battle?
I don't know, I miss the powers, because it's quite exciting when you see, like, Pikachu do his thunder attack and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think maybe the fight's going on longer than it would do in a normal fight.
Yeah.
I think there's something primal about removing the fantasy of having the Pokemon using their powers, and instead it's actual red and tooth and claw fighting, and it strips away the fantasy. In a way that left the humans kind of thinking, oh, wow, this is actually terrible.
Yeah. At the same time, it really does not ring true at all.
No, it doesn't, does it? So going back to the Minky Momo connection. So Minky Momo famously dies at the end of the television series by getting run over by a toy truck, right?
Yeah, the truck basically runs
around. Do you think the staff here were trying to critique the Pokemon fantasy?
I'm not sure they're trying to critique it so much as they just want to do something different, perhaps, than they could do in the TV series. Because it's not like they stopped making Pokemon films after this, saying, we've shown them now. They carried on making Pokemon, the same people.
Yes, they did. I would like to think that's true, but there's still... God, in the English dub, at least, they really hammer over your head that you shouldn't fight someone just because they're different. Or as Meowth famously put it, how's I'm supposed to trust you just because you was born different? And like I said earlier, there's parts of that really ring untrue. And also, hilariously, is undercut by the end, where Mewtwo decides that the best way to handle this, now that he's learned his lesson, is to fly off with all his clones and then wipe everybody's memories. So Team Rocket deciding in the end that they're going to be good guys? No, that's not a thing anymore. Whatever lessons the human trainers learned about violence and gone. Accepting people for their differences, nope, they've forgotten all that.
And also, they all forget that Ash died.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, that too.
I don't want to remember that.
So, how did Ash's death affect you the first time around, Anthony? And
it affects me more now that I'm older. Huh. Kind of, because I'm far more emotional now than what I've ever been when I was that age. It's sad back then, and you know, you get people online like posting like the picture of Pikachu crying and stuff. It's like, oh, I remember that scene. It's quite sad. But then when you rewatch it, oh, it's awful. It's so good, like it's good, but it's so awfully sad, and it tugs my heartstrings. I tell you, really, really does. And I think that's one of the best bits of the film, and that's why I think it's memorable for me because of that scene. And I don't think any of the Pokemon films will match that.
Now you're going to be appalled with me, Anthony, when I say this did not bring a tear to my eye, but a scene in the Yo-Kai Watch movie did.
Oh, the Yo-Kai Watch film's got some sad moments.
It does.
And I'll agree
but
with that.
Sad moments tend not to bring a tear to my own films. It's
the funny ones.
No, not funny ones, but uplifting moments tend to do it.
Oh, everything does it to me. Like anything that is high emotion, whether it be, as you say, uplifting or extremely sad, it'll bring a tear to my eye. But nah, that scene is just... When they're crying, Ash is Pikachu's trying to shock Ash back to life, I guess. Yeah. And it's just so sad.
It is that do you believe in fairies bit out of Peter Pan. Mm. And where the audience is all supposed to say they believe in fairies to bring Tinkerbell back to life.
Well, it reminds me a lot of The Lion King as well, where Simba's kind of tapping at Mufasa's like face and stuff when he dies.
Yeah, so and he's useless. He can't bring him back to life. Unlike Pikachu.
Oh, that would have been a much better film if Lion King did that. All the jump cries. No, I love The Lion King, I really do, but that jerks my tears, I tell you. Gosh.
How are your tear ducts feeling on this scene, Bradley?
Yeah, I thought it was really corny.
Oh, you're a monster.
Oh, God. I was waiting for exactly this to happen once, like, the local officer brings up the whole legend just out of nowhere, too. So clearly somebody's going to die and be resurrected. So I was waiting 40 minutes. There were actually several fakeouts where it looked like Ash was going to be in actual physical danger and died earlier in the movie. So I was expecting it to be Ash. So there was mostly relief that, oh, this thing they seeded at the beginning of the movie has finally been done, so we can move beyond that.
See, when I first seen it, I didn't pick up on that foreshadowing as much as I do now, obviously. And so
really obvious.
It is. It was only so like 10 at the time, 11.
Yeah. Kids are stupid. I get that, but
I didn't like look into it too. I was just enjoying seeing Pokemon on a film. Come on. This is the best.
And one thing going for it is it does look like a film version of Pokemon. It's not like, oh, it's the TV series on the screen.
Yeah, there's a lot of swooping through clouds. I think that's the cliched way of saying, we're not in TV land anymore. We got nice clouds. And of course, Watch Movie does the same thing.
Yeah, but this has got the advantage of it. We haven't got, the industry hasn't gone fully digital yet, so... This does feel like a traditional animated film more than, say, the Yo-Kai Watch film will do.
Yeah, it does look very nice. Yeah, it's well-crafted in terms of animation.
Yeah, I think for the version I saw, the first 20 minutes are pretty well-crafted as well.
I think it's a good film.
I think it's a fine film. It's much better than the other Pokemon film we watched.
Yeah. God, yeah.
I'm not in a hurry to watch it again. I'll happily leave it another 17 years.
So I would kind of like to watch it again, but with a group of people and see who cries.
Well, it's getting a Blu-ray release in the UK, along with Pokemon Movie 2 and 3 in a collection.
I don't even know what the second...
Pokemon Movie 2000 is the second one, and Pokemon 3 the movie is the third one. apparently.
Not much clue to the...
No, the context.
...titles.
Yeah, because later on they all start putting names of which Pokemon's going to show up in the title. Yeah.
Which is a good idea. Well, no, I don't know. It's probably not, actually, because the surprise, especially for a kid, would be huge.
All right, the second one is trying to about awakening Lugia, Guardian of the Sea.
Uh-huh.
And Pokemon 3, Ash's mother is kidnapped by the powerful Entei, a Pokemon thought to have existed only in legend.
Yeah.
And they have to go into some sort of dream world.
Ooh. I'm surprised Ash's mother is alive.
She's got Mr. Mime to protect her.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
That is a bit of continuity. That's something which happens in the series and then is referenced further on in the future.
Something I want to mention. Like, you two probably won't have picked up on it, but because I know my Pokemon. There's a bit where, you know, they make a joke about the who's that Pokemon thing.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I got that.
Jesse says, there's an Alakazam in the picture, and it's not an Alakazam.
I was wondering about that.
It's a Scyther, and I think it's a... I don't know whether it was a joke, because of them being idiots and kind of messing up, or whether it was a legit mistake. But how could he make that mistake? It's got to be a joke.
I think it's a stroke of genius.
I hope it is, because...
It's a good way to make the kids feel like they're smarter than Team Rocket.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I think is kind of part of their appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like two adults who are much stupider than you, the children, watching it.
Yes.
Anything else to add? There's some in the dub version. Obviously, they have some reworkings of the dub music in various bits. I'm not entirely sure it worked.
Nah. Mm. I remember when you first hear the theme, it's kind of not as good as...
No, they try to make it more cinematic and less musical.
Yeah.
It's stretched, I think, is the feeling. There's something delightfully concise and to the point about the dubbed Pokemon TV theme. Yeah. But and that charm is just completely gone. It's an extended kind of, it's almost like an extended improvisation that doesn't really add anything.
Any opinions on where it stands in American localizations of anime movies around this time against the Digimon movie? I think it's the one you'd have to compare it to.
Is it one we watched?
Yeah, the one where they cut the two movies together to make a single movie. So I think this has got the advantage of that. That even though apparently, yes, there were some cuts in some versions of it, it isn't trying to wedge two stories together.
Yeah. I think it's really good. It's, I don't know, it seems to go quite quickly, especially with 10 minutes cut off. But once it gets going and it's like they're on the island with Mewtwo, it's like, whoa, slow down. And then it's over. So I think it's got a good... Probably even too fast at points, but I like it a lot. I still like it a lot.
I've never seen anything Digimon. But the dub was bearable, largely.
This is
I really don't like listening to dubs, generally speaking, but this one, the voices really work in part because they're so corny. So
it's the original cast because they had to change the entire cast, didn't they, at some point.
Mm. Oh. Yeah, I mean, the voices are fine for me because I've probably watched like quite a lot of the series, so I'm used to Ash's voice, Brock's voice, and but I don't know, when did they change the voices?
Oh,
did Ash's stay the same?
No, I think they all. Oh. I think everyone's voice changed. Wasn't there like some sort of rights issue where it changed back?
Yeah. That's weird, though, because, I mean, they're such distinguishable voices, at least for me, and probably anybody else who's watched the series. But Ash's voice, unless they got somebody very similar sounding, I think would stand out like a sore thumb.
2006, it was discovered that Pokemon USA and TAJ Productions were going to recast the voices from season 9 onwards. Only two of the original voice actors stayed. So let's find out who they played.
Did they want to get their non-union equivalent? What happened there?
He played the voice of Gary Oak.
Which he does very little.
And the voice of Ash.
Oh, so Ash did. Oh,
Ash
good.
Stayed, that's yeah.
Veronica Taylor.
Is that right? Oh, well, no, that's not. Maybe it has changed since then.
Oh, God.
Not the voice of Ash. She has played the Ash in some versions one film. No. Professor Ivy, Oliver, Luana and Miranda.
They're the ones who stayed the same?
Yes.
Characters who you might only see...
Yeah, and the Professor Gary Oak, Dr. Namba, Price, Charles Goodshaw. Well, these may be characters from later on as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even know who they are. Wow.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there was controversy over all that happening, apparently.
Because
Four Kids Entertainment's contract expired. That was why.
Okay. So Four Kids is not releasing the new Pokemon TV series and movies in the US and abroad anymore?
Not as far as I'm aware.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, not for the last 10 years, by the looks of things.
Wow, okay, so who has the rights now?
That is a good question. I think just Pokemon International. Pokemon Company International manager.
Okay.
I'm sure they probably use some sort of distributor, but I think that was around the time they were going to get more hands-on once. Four Kids were out of the picture.
Well, I'll say this about the movie. I liked it, and I think I liked it enough that I would like to watch a few episodes of the current TV series and maybe watch a few more movies, because I like the fantasy of Pokemon. I like just, let's make animal friends, and we'll have friendly fights with each other and go on adventures where none of the villains are ever actually a threat. They're all very silly and funny. It's kind of a great self-contained children's fantasy, and...
Yeah.
While I don't like a lot of aspects of this movie, it still has that charm in it, so.
I agree.
And I think the big part of the charm is it's unsupervised adventure. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're having to constantly report back to parents.
Parents,
you get shots of parents worrying about them or anything like that.
That was one of my favorite things about the game, is the mom is like, well, it's time for you to go be a trainer, so get out there.
Yeah.
It's total support. You never have to report to her, yeah.
Right. Okay, I think that wraps everything up about this film. As I say, it's coming out on Blu-ray in the UK quite shortly. Or if you really want it, yeah, you can buy and rent on Amazon. Or if you want the DVD, you can currently buy a new copy on Amazon for £58.99.
Ooh!
That's the Warner's release. I don't know whether they'll still have the Pokemon card in it. Maybe that's why it's expensive new, because people are buying it for the Pokemon card rather than the DVD.
That might be it. Yeah. You can also, for what it's worth, stream a rental on Amazon for $4 if you're in the US.
Okay.
I don't think that's an option if you live in the UK.
It is, apparently. It was an option we did not look at. But yes, apparently it is. Though, not as cheap as $4.
How much instead?
£3 something or other.
Ooh. So
I think the exchange rate's probably.
And how long does a rental last on Amazon?
It lasts quite a while. It basically starts the moment you start watching it. You've got two days to finish watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I've only done it once. I rented Ant-Man.
Mm. Oh, renting anything. Ooh, I don't like it. I used to do it a lot when I was younger. I'd rent games.
I was going to say, that was why I was like, I used to rent videos all the time. Why have I got some aversion to renting on Amazon? So I... When the picture quality is going to be much better.
Oh, God, yeah. At home.
Yeah, because you rack up those, like, £1, or I assume $1 in America, tokens for them.
Yeah, I recently bought, is it Kingsman?
I don't know what you bought. Yeah. Kingsman.
No, I can't, it's that film.
Kingsman is a film you could have bought, yes.
Yeah, I bought that I've not watched it yet. I hope I didn't rent it. I hope I bought it and it wasn't rented. Oh, God.
Okay, as this is a Pokemon episode, that means it's time for a game of...
Pokemon!
Pokemonsieurs!
Oh, yeah.
Where I give you the name of the French name for a Pokemon, and you have to tell me their English name. So, Bradley, let's start with you.
Is this original 150?
This is all...
A 151.
It's mainly 151, I think. There might be a few slipped in there, but I think it's mainly 151. Salamish.
Charizard.
Close. Anthony, do you want to...
Charmander.
Yes. Point for Anthony. Anthony. Nosferatu.
Is that a Zubat?
No, very close though, Bradley.
See, here's the thing. I know like 3 or 4 Pokemon names off the top of my head, so I'm probably just going to keep guessing those over and over again.
What does Zubat evolve into? I'll give you a clue.
It's Golbat, I'm afraid.
Okay,
Bradley. Rafflesia.
Rafflesia. What? Rattatat?
No, Anthony.
Rafflesia. Nidoqueen?
No, Vileplume.
Oh.
I believe that's the name of an actual smelly plant.
Smelly plant.
Oh, yes. You see it in the movie.
Yeah.
I had wondered if that was a Pokemon or decoration, but I did recognize that that's a very large smelly plant.
Bradley. No, Anthony. A quack quack.
Psyduck.
No. Bradley. A quack quack.
Whatever Psyduck evolves into.
Yeah, I'll give you a point for that.
Oh! That's fair. Yeah, that's
I should have done that earlier.
Yeah, Golduck. Next up for Bradley is Gravalanche.
Rockman Lee.
Anthony.
Well, I'm going to say Graveler.
You are correct. Yeah. Anthony. Growlum.
I'm going to say Golem.
That is correct. Yeah. The one which sounds exactly like it. Bradley. Galloper.
Oh, Ponyta?
Nope. Anthony.
Oh. Oh, what's that evolve into? I don't know what it evolves into.
Rapidash,
yeah.
Anthony, Phantominus. Or Phantominus, maybe.
Alakazam?
Nope.
Rattatat?
No, Ghastly.
Oh, right, that makes more sense.
Okay, Bradley, Soporific.
Yeah. Come again?
Soporific.
Rattatat.
No, Anthony.
Soporific? What could sop be? Certainly watery. Squirrel?
No, drowsy.
Drowsy?
So Soporific is something which makes you feel sleepy.
Oh, right.
Alright. Anthony. Nunearth.
What?
Nunearth. I had to look this up on YouTube to find out how to pronounce it.
But is it Mewtwo?
It's not Mewtwo, no. Nunearth, Bradley. Nunearth.
Rattatat.
No, it's execute.
Oh, because
Earth, yeah, is egg.
Yes, for egg, yeah.
Oh, man.
Execute, okay. Is that how you pronounce it?
There's an execute, and then it evolves into executor, yeah. So it's an execute.
Okay, last one for Bradley. Smogo.
I'm trying to remember the name of this purple Pokemon that looks like a water mine.
That's the one.
Don't give him this, because this is an obvious one.
Oh, Anthony, you're going to win either way. So,
oh, well, if you want to give him.
Well, okay, we'll say this. It's the stage 1 evolution of, yeah, that Pokemon I just
That
described.
Is correct, yeah, coughing. Okay.
Thank you.
Anthony, you've already won, so it's just for pride now.
Oh, yeah, I've got pride.
Rhino Corn.
Rhyhorn.
That is correct. You won Pocket Monsieur's 4-2.
Oh, hee haw.
So, what is the French name for Ratatat?
Oh, hang on, let me... I can't remember if that was in the previous quiz or not. I have to dig out the French names of Pokemon wiki page that I used for that quiz.
Anthony, was I on the previous Pokemon quiz? Because I feel like I've done this before. Or have I actually listened to that episode?
That's you weren't on it, because that was when we did the other Pokemon film. That was Eddie.
No, it wasn't that episode. That was ages ago.
Was it not?
I think it might have been on the Yo-Kai Watch episode with Dwayne.
With Dwayne. That's why I listened to it, too.
Well, I hate to disappoint you, Bradley. The French name for Rattata is Rattata.
Oh, darn.
What about Raticate? What did,
it's Ratatak.
Ratatak. Yeah. Letting us down.
Let us down, the French. Whoever's in charge of figuring out French puns.
Yeah.
Righty-ho, anything to plug, Bradley?
Nope.
Excellent. Anthony.
Oh, gosh.
Is this Abicon video going to be out in 2 weeks? After this?
It's not going to be out in 2 weeks, I'll tell you that.
It's going to be out before the next Abicon.
Hopefully. But for those who don't know, I'm doing an Abicon video, and it's a masterpiece right now.
I thought you were going to say it was lit.
It's beyond lit. It's just fantastic cinema. I'm not going to lie. There's some bits in there that gives me goosebumps to watch. I'm not even exaggerating. It's so much fun. If anyone watched it has as much fun as I did make, half as much fun as I did making it, then job done. But there's that's coming out. So YouTube is... What? See, I need to change my YouTube name.
Your aunt asks you, aren't you, on there?
No, I'm saying 808.
Oh, you're saying 808.
I will be changing that. Twitch, aunt asks you, because I try to stream a little bit now. Adventure Bastards as well on YouTube. Search that, and that's it. That's all you want.
Yep. Yeah, listen to this podcast and the other podcast. Jonathan, you hopefully will eventually catch up on JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and rejoin us. Let's Go JoJo, every week in addition to this podcast. It's on this feed, so you're probably downloading it already. If you haven't downloaded it, just go back one episode and it's probably there. Where we talk about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and everything else we've been watching this week. Or in the case of one show that Dwayne and Niall have been watching this week and I haven't.
See, that's the thing, it'll take me a while. I'll catch up with JoJo's, but I don't know whether I can keep up to date with some of the stuff you guys are watching, unless it's awesome. So it's like hard to watch this banana
yarn. Most of it. That's 3 minutes long. It's hard to keep up on banana yarn.
These crazy shows.
You could literally watch it while you're taking a shit, Anthony.
Oh, come on. I like to give things full concentration, Brian. Even if it is a cat, it's a banana.
That's it for this week's Dynamite in the Brain. Be sure to stay subscribed on iTunes, Stitcher, Player.fm, or your podcast aggregator of choice. Next time on Dynamite in the Brain, Yo-Kai Watch the Movie. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.